The leading Democratic candidates met for another in a series of debates last night. Healthcare policy was one of the big topics with some serious differences among the candidates. Here's Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, then former Vice President Joe Biden.
On Medicare for All, costs are going to go up for wealthier individuals and costs are going to go up for giant corporations. But for hardworking families across this country, costs are going to go down.
And if you notice, nobody's yet said how much it's going to cost the taxpayer.
We heard a lot of references to the Affordable Care Act, making changes to it, eliminating private insurance, and keeping a public option. Julie Rovner is chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of KHN's What the Health podcast. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it seems like one of the major divides here is over this concept of Medicare for all. Where do the candidates break down on that?
Well, we have Bernie Sanders, who, as he keeps reminding us, wrote the damn bill, and Elizabeth Warren, who is a co-sponsor. And basically, of the candidates who were on the stage last night, those are the two main ones who are supporting Medicare for All. Everybody else, most notably Joe Biden, supports some way to expand coverage, but not to go quite as far as basically getting rid of the current system that the U.S. has and starting all over with a new one, which is effectively what Medicare for All would do.
Let's dig into what those options mean with the warning that the devil is in the details. When a candidate is talking about Medicare for All, what might that look like?
Well, what they say it would look like is that everybody would have Medicare, which is the popular health care program for seniors and some people with disabilities, except that's not really what it would be. It would be a whole new program that would be called Medicare that would be much more generous than current Medicare. Right now, if you're on the Medicare program, you probably have some kind of supplemental insurance. Either you can buy a plan that just pays the copayments and other out-of-pocket costs that come along with Medicare, or you can buy what's called a Medicare Advantage plan, which takes the place of some of the government payment systems and basically puts you in a managed care plan. But you have Medicaid if you're low income. There are a number of people who have both Medicare and Medicaid, but very few people have Medicare alone because in this day and age, it's just not all that generous. You are susceptible to having to pay potentially unlimited thousands of dollars in extra payments for Medicare. So the idea behind Medicare for All is that it would get rid of all those extra payments. What they say is that you wouldn't have to pay any premiums, any copayments, any deductibles, that everything would be free at the point of service, and it would be paid for by raising basically everybody's taxes and the rich people's taxes more.
Right. And that's one of the big knocks on it from critics of the Medicare for All idea. It sounds expensive. What if anything, do we know about how much it might cost?
Well, how much it might cost depends in very large part on how much you're going to pay health care providers. And since that hasn't been determined, it's really not possible to figure out how much Medicare for All would cost. There's, you know, all of these, well, if we pay them current Medicare rates, hospitals and doctors say that wouldn't be enough money for some of them to stay in business. So one would presume that they would pay them more than current Medicare rates. How much more? Hard to say. So how much would it cost? It depends. But certainly it would take a significant tax increase to pay for it if you're going to get rid of things like premiums and copayments and other out-of-pocket costs that patients now pay when they go seek health care.
Now, another option candidates are talking about is reviving the idea of a public option, which I dimly recall was in the early stages of the Affordable Care Act for like 30 seconds or something like that, and then it was dropped. Are we just bringing back the idea as it was initially proposed years ago?
Well, there are a lot of variations on what a public option would be. You remember correctly, it was part of the Affordable Care Act. It was part of the Affordable Care Act that passed the House, so it was there for more than 30 seconds. But it couldn't get 60 votes in the Senate. Joe Lieberman, the independent from Connecticut, rather famously said he wouldn't vote for the bill if it was in there, although it wasn't just Joe Lieberman. There were a couple of more conservative Democrats who did not want to have a public option. And this would have been simply a government-run plan that you could have signed up for instead of the private plans when you went to the insurance exchanges. So it wasn't really tied to Medicare. Now there are talks of a public option that would be actual Medicare. Medicare, that people could buy into actual Medicare, or they could buy into a Medicare-like program. So there are different ways to do this. You could let people who have only people who buy their own insurance buy into this public option. You could let employers buy into the public option for their employees. You could, there's a couple of proposals where kids would start being enrolled in it, so you would sort of more gradually but also more certainly move everybody into a public plan by starting at childhood and then moving up. Or you could start at older ages and move down. So there's people who would be able to buy into Medicare at age 60 instead of 65 or even 50.
Talking to Julie Rovner from Kaiser Health News about health care policy in the presidential race. That's a whirlwind tour of Democrats on health care. Julie, what is the latest from Republicans? There was the effort that came very close to succeeding in Congress to overturn the Affordable Care Act. There's still court action that could do it. What do we know from President Trump and other Republicans about what they would replace it with?
Well, the Republicans in Congress have not wanted to go back to this year, certainly not with the House in the hands of the Democrat. They didn't see any point in trying to take another run at repealing the Affordable Care Act. So the Republicans in Congress are mostly working, trying to figure out if they can do something about prescription drug prices or if they can do something about surprise medical bills, sort of smaller things that are still very important to voters. President Trump had been saying for months that he was going to unveil a new health plan, and it was going to be in 2 weeks, and that's been every 2 weeks since about April. Although this week there are reports that perhaps the administration isn't going to try to put together its own health plan, but perhaps they will put together some contingency plans for if the courts, as you mentioned, there is a lawsuit that could conceivably rule the entire Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. It's currently before a three-judge appeals court in the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans, and we're waiting for that decision now. Obviously, no matter how they decide, it will probably get appealed to the Supreme Court. And depending on when the appeals court decision comes down, we could have a Supreme Court decision on that in the middle of the campaign next June.
Right. And then we're starting from scratch. We're back to where we were, what, before 2008?
It could be a big mess. You know, it's the Affordable Care Act is much more than the things that we talk about, which tend to be these exchanges where people can buy their own health insurance and the Medicaid expansions. But there were a lot of big changes to the Medicare program in the Affordable Care Act. There were provisions for expensive biologic drugs to have generic copies made. There was an extension of the Indian Health Service. All of these things could potentially go away. They're talking about taking down the entire law. That could literally throw the healthcare system into chaos. And as of now, the Trump administration hasn't said what it would do if that were to happen.
And then, Julie, bringing us to the current day, we're seeing numbers out this week showing a decline in the number of the percentage of people currently covered under health coverage in the United States. What are we seeing there?
That's right. We're seeing almost 2 million more people without insurance in 2018 than the year before. A big chunk of that were fewer people on the Medicaid program for those with low incomes. The Trump administration has itself and many states have also made it more difficult for people to get Medicaid. Plus, there is this looming requirement called a public charge that would basically people who are here legally but not yet permanently, it would be counted against them if they use certain public programs, and Medicaid is one of them. So there is, and that's been sort of out there for a couple of years, which is why it may have shown up as one of the reasons in 2018 that there are fewer people on Medicaid.
In one way, Julie, this is the biggest issue in the presidential race, apparently, for Democrats. In another, a president can't really do that much on their own, right? How much focus should there be on getting presidential candidates, Republican and Democrat, to flesh out what they want to do with health care?
Well, of course, you know, as you mentioned, these are all things that would have to be done by Congress, but they would be done with presidential leadership. And this was something that President Obama made, you know, a one of his top priorities. And there was a lot of presidential leadership in getting it done. President Bill Clinton also made it one of his top priorities, and he didn't get it done. So it doesn't happen without a president pushing it, but it doesn't necessarily happen even with a president pushing it.
And briefly, Julie, what would you like to hear from candidates that we're not hearing yet?
I would really like to hear more about things that are not just how would you pay for it and how much would it cost, because those are basically two things we can't know, but how they think about sort of the balance of public versus private, who should do what, who's really responsible for taking care of people who truly can't pay for health care, and how to ensure that that happens. There are a lot of other issues in the health care system that we're not hearing very much about. We haven't heard very much in the debates about women's reproductive health, for example. And again, we haven't really asked the Democratic candidates what they think should happen if the Affordable Care Act is struck down by the courts.
Julie, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
My pleasure.
That's Julie Rovner, chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of KHN's What the Health podcast. We talked to her about the different Democratic visions for health care coming out of last night's candidate debate.